This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome to episode number 8, Alhamdulillah, of lifestyle. How can we bring these concepts taught in the Quran, revealed in the Quran, taught by the Prophet ﷺ, practiced by the early generations, to our lives today in 2023 and beyond, inshallah. What are these concepts in the first place and what are their importance? This is basically the series that we have been discussing in the past 8 days, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. If you did not, if you did not watch the previous episodes, inshallah ta'ala, you can scroll down either on Live Deen page, Wael Ibrahim page, Connect Institute pages in Karachi and in the Philippines, or you can pay a visit to the Aware Academy YouTube channel for all the previous episodes, inshallah ta'ala. Today, one of the most key concepts and important action that we need to bring to our lives is called Mujahadat An-Nafs, or Mujahada, which comes from the root word Jahada or Jihad, the word that we often here in the media, or often misunderstood by the media, or intentionally or unintentionally, Allahu A'lam, God knows best. But mujahada comes from the same root of jihad or jahada, which is basically to strive and to resist your evil inclination for the sake of doing something greater, despite any challenge that might face you or might distract you, you know, along the way of achieving that particular thing, inshallah ta'ala. And the importance of mujahada, or fighting oneself, is mentioned in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to us about the origin or the nature of our soul, the nature of ourselves. Allah said in the Quran, "Inna nafsa la'ammaratun bisu." Indeed, most certainly, your soul, your nafs, is pushing you towards that which is evil. And that's why we need to practice mujahadatun nafs. We need to fight our own very selves, or our, ourselves, which are always, you know, pushing us towards that which is wrong, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the right understanding. We need to practice mujahadatun nafs in two ways, bi'idhnillah. So I hope the people are watching, inshallah, or those who are watching will take notes, and those who are not taking notes and will, inshallah ta'ala, watch the videos and they like to just listen, please share these pages with your circles, inshallah, to bring about the benefits to others, inshallah. So you need to practice mujahada, that concept of striving, struggling against your own evil inclination, in two ways. Number one, in that which is obligatory and in that which is prohibited. So you need to struggle against your own self to do that which is always obligatory and mentioned in the Quran, or mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ, to be a must. And in doing or executing obligations, sometimes it is difficult, except with those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made things easy. And also executing that which is haram sometimes is very easy, but sometimes it's absolutely difficult on those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make difficult. That's why we always make the dua, Ya Allah, O Allah, Allahumma habbib ilayna al-iman wa zayyinhu fi qulubina, as mentioned in the Quran, O Allah, make iman beloved to us and beautify it in our hearts, meaning make it easy for us to practice. Wa karrih ilayna al-kufra wal-fusuqa wal-asyan, and make disbelief hated to us, you know, and fusuq, wrongdoing, wa asyan, and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make it difficult for us, make it hard for us to even practice or come closer, subhanAllah. So we need to make or do mujahada in two ways. In that which is obligatory, we have to struggle in order for us to achieve and to execute what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made obligatory, and to also struggle against ourselves when it comes to the haram or prohibitions, to resist as hard as we can, to never fall easily into temptations. That's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Afdalul jihad." He said, "Afdalul jihad, jihadun nafs." Subhanallah al-azim. He said, "The best, the greatest form of jihad." Because, by the way, there are many, many types of jihad. Those who wanted to write down, inshallah, there is jihadun nafs. There is jihad against your own self, and there is jihad bin nafs. And that is combative jihad, and we will not discuss it at that stage. And there is jihad bil mal, there is jihad with your own wealth. There is jihadul kalima, jihad of the word, or to speak a word of truth in front of a tyrant leader. And there is jihadul shaitan, to fight the devil, shaitan, Satan, that force, that invisible force that always, you know, try to distract us away from the straight path, or take us away from the straight path. So there are five types of jihad. One of these types is jihad an-nafs, which is our talk today, or our topic today, mujahada, to do mujahada, or to exert effort in fighting your evil inclinations. There was a man who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I wanted to become a Muslim. What is it that I need to do? What are the things that I need to do? So the Prophet ﷺ told him, "An tashhad an la ilaha illallah wa anni rasulullah," to bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, and that I am the messenger of Allah, to perform your salah, to pay your prescribed charity, to fast during the month of Ramadan, and to perform hajj if you're able to. And then the man said to him that, "If I do all of that, what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me in return?" He said, "You will be with me in Jannah." Allahu Akbar. He said, "You will be with me in Jannah." So the man reflected, thought for a while, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, if that's the case, if I will be with you in Jannah, if I did all of that, then why can't your people, the companions, your friends, why can't they give me any of their daughters in marriage? You know, I am a dameen person." The word dameen means not so good looking, you know, not many people will desire me. So why the people will not give me their daughters in marriage? So the Prophet ﷺ felt very sorry for him, and he told him, "Go to that man, that particular house, and knock the door, and tell the father of that particular daughter that the Prophet ﷺ sent me for your daughter to marry. The Prophet ﷺ has blessed me to come and marry your daughter." Subhanallah al-Azim, when he arrived to the house, the father rejected the man. He said, "No, I will not marry you to my daughter." But the daughter heard that it was the recommendation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she told the father, "Ya Rasulullah," she told her father, "Rasulullah himself recommended me. So even if you don't like him, I like him. I desire him based on the recommendation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Then the man, when he heard that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who recommended this dameen guy, this companion who was not so good looking or was rejected by the people, then he went to the Prophet ﷺ and he told them that, "I apologize. I didn't know that it was your recommendation. Now I will accept. Now I'll accept." So they brought the man back to the Prophet ﷺ, and he discovered that he has nothing to offer. He has nothing to offer this lady. No money, nothing. So the Prophet ﷺ called for Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu arda, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, and Amr ibn al-As, if I'm not mistaken, and he told them, "You carry out his mahar on his behalf," meaning you pay off his mahar on his behalf. And this, such was the greatest manners of the companions at that time, the greatest way how the companions used to cooperate and and help each other in difficulties and in ease, subhanAllah. So the three of them, they paid 600 dirhams, you know, his mahar for this lady, and the marriage took place, subhanAllah. On the wedding night, look at this, on the wedding night, the man did not even stay in his home yet for over a night. That's his wedding night, right? A call for jihad was announced. And we need men to fight along with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that man left his wife, left his home. He took his horse and he mounted the horse and he fled with the Prophet ﷺ. He went with the Prophet ﷺ into the battlefield, and he died that night in the battlefield. And the Prophet ﷺ cried so severely. And it was said that he shrouded him with his own hands. He buried him with his own hands. And he prayed the janazah on his body, sallallahu alaihi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, he is with me in Jannah. Such a man who did not even witness, you know, his own wedding night, subhanallah alaihi. But his sincerity and his sense of responsibility that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam needed him, he left everything and he strived against his own desire, which was halal. Halal desire, his wife. He left her and he went to fight for the sake of Allah. Now, we are not talking about that type of jihad as we mentioned earlier, but we are talking about that if you are unable to fight your own desire, how will you stand up in front of an enemy or in front of even an ant or an animal that is threatening you or your family members? If you cannot even fight your own desires, your own hawa, how could you fight anything else? SubhanAllah, our scholars taught us that there are so many types. Yani, there are five types for jihad, and there are even several types for jihadun nafs itself, like fighting your own self. There are many, many types, or there are many, many actions in which you can execute to experience or to exercise jihadun nafs. One of them is to fight your own self when seeking knowledge, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma'rifatul huda, to know the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Quran, learning the Quran, and learning the ahadith, the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Without striving to attain this knowledge and to seek this knowledge, how are you expecting yourself to be in Jannah on the Day of Judgment? Like, how will you be able to reach to the highest level of Jannah on the Day of Judgment, subhanAllah? Because knowledge, seeking knowledge require patience, require hours of, you know, sitting and reading books and sitting under the feet of the ulama, asking them questions, reflecting over the knowledge that you learned so that you can retain it later on. SubhanAllah, I was teaching my children, my students at school about memorizing the Quran. And I was telling them that there is one methodology if you can follow in Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala, at least you can memorize one big chapter in the Quran, you know, divide your time per day, maybe two ayat, three ayat, you can actually memorize Surah Luqman or Surah Maryam or Surah Yusuf and so on. So, and I told them that you can read each ayat 20 times. Read it from the Mus'haf 20 times and then close the Mus'haf and then read it from memory 10 times. And then open the Mus'haf again, read it 10 times and then 5 times from memory and so on. The ayah will stick no matter what, because in repetition, you can memorize anything when you repeat things again and again. And if you don't believe me, ask those people who memorize songs. How did they memorize the lyrics of the song? Because the song is being repeated on TV, repeated on cassette, and so, and as a result, it becomes solid in the brain. Similarly, you want to read the Quran. So one of the students said, but that will take too much time. If you want the knowledge of Allah, you have to dedicate the time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you will say, I don't have time, wallahi, we have all the time in the world for all other useless stuff. But when it comes to the Quran, when it comes to the deen of Allah, we say, oh, that's going to take a long time. You must dedicate time for the knowledge of Allah. And that's mujahada. To sacrifice entertainment for the sake of sitting and learning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, in another aspect of mujahada, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, the story of Talut, where he was talking to his soldiers, you know, during the battlefield, during the war. He said that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهْرِ, that Allah will test you through a river that you will see along the journey of towards the battlefield. فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Allah is telling Talut to tell them that whosoever drinks from this river is not belong to me. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَطْعَمْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. And whosoever did not drink from the river is belong to me. إِلَّا مَنْ اغْتَرَفَ غُرْفَةً بِيَدِهِ. Except those people that when thirst becomes really unbearable, they will take a sip as big as maybe a as little as how you will take with your own hand, like something very small. فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْهُ. But all of them drink. SubhanAllah. They disobeyed Talut. All of them drink except few. Except few. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, He linked victory in the battlefield with victory over your own soul, over your own nafs. Victory in the battlefield will never be achieved, my brothers and sisters in Islam, unless you defeat your own self. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying this ayah, only few people were able to hold fast or to hold strong unto the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the few that always arise in every generation. These are the few that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had filtered from the majority. These are the few that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prepared Jannah for. These are the few, subhanAllah al-Azim, that in every generation, بدأ الإسلام غريباً وسيعود غريباً فتوبى للغرباء. The Prophet ﷺ said that Islam started as something strange and it will go back to that state of being strange. فتوبى للغرباء. They ask, who are these غرباء? Who are these strangers that good news has been given to them? He said, those who in the entire world, the entire lot is corrupted, they will remain firm. They will not go and deviate from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created the entire dunya to filter these few, subhanAllah al-Azim. And the rest will be the fuels, as they were the fuel of the desires in this dunya, they will be the fuel of hellfire on the day of judgment. May Allah protect us all, Ya Rabbil Alameen. فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. That as for those who transgressed and preferred and favored the life of this dunya, Jahim, hellfire, will be the abode for them. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. But as of those who feared Allah and His status, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His commands, and He prevent Himself, His own soul, from desires. And we are not talking about halal desires, by the way, because desires can be halal, but can be utilized in a haram way. So we are referring to the haram desires. And those who prevent their souls from committing haram or going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Jannah will be the final abode. My brothers and sisters in Islam, mujahada can be of so many types. Can be mujahada ala al-bala, to strive against your own selves when you experience difficulties in life, when you experience trials and tribulations. Do jihad to remind yourself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by your side, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so long as you were a kind person, helping others, you're not harming or wronging anyone, that this is a test that will pass inshallah ta'ala and will go its way. And if it didn't, it's actually a redemption for whatever you have done in the past and a means for you to be in Jannah. However, if you are experiencing difficulty in this dunya because you harm people, you are a liar, you are a gossiper, you are a backbiter, you are spreading evil in the community, then probably this is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you ask yourself, when you experience the calamity, am I doing something wrong? Am I harming anyone? If the answer is no, then it is a test and a means for you to enter Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. Mujahada is, the scholars say, takhliya and tahliya, when you purify yourself. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Indeed, successful people are those who are in constant state of purifying themselves. From what? Takhliya and tahliya. They say you have to filter your life from shirk, from sin, from envy, from hatred. And to do tahliya, to beautify your character with good manners, with truthfulness, ithar, selflessness acts, and so on and so forth. Mujahada is to strive all the way, my brothers and sisters, until you meet the Prophet ﷺ at Al-Kawthar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the right understanding. Jazakumullahu khairan. As I mentioned earlier, please, if you find the episodes and the reminders are fruitful, beneficial, kindly share it with everyone in your circle. Don't forget to go to the YouTube channel, Aware Academy, and try to subscribe and share the page with others. Jazakumullah khairan. We'll see you tomorrow, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.